Spirit 88.9 FM, we are Catholic Radio for the Christian community. Good morning. You're tapped into Spirit Mornings with Bruce McGregor and
Chris McGregor.
This morning, joined by Father Thomas Acklin, a Benedictine monk, first professing vows in 1976. Father was ordained a priest in 1980, studied theology and psychology of religion at Catholic University of Louvain in Belgium, where he earned his doctorate of sacred theology. Currently, Father Acklin is professor of theology and psychology at St. Vincent College and St. Vincent Seminary, where he's taught since 1976. He is also a faculty member of the Pittsburgh Psychoanalytic Institute and Foundation, and author of the book we're going to be talking about today, The Unchanging Heart of the Priesthood, A Faith Perspective on the Reality and Mystery of Priesthood in the Church. And Father Acklin, good morning and welcome to the program.
Good morning, Bruce and Chris and all our listeners.
Father Acklin, I think I look in just the front cover of the book before I started, and I saw so many wonderful endorsements for the book. One among them is Mike Aquilina, who is a very good friend of the radio station here and a frequent contributor on our morning show. He writes that this book is much needed surgery. Like a good surgeon, Father Acklin is unflinching, realistic, demanding, and meticulous, yet always respectful and constructive, with healing as his goal. Catholics need this book, a full understanding, and then a full flourishing of Catholicism in America. Wow. And as I read it, he didn't overstate at all the importance of the unchanging heart of the priesthood.
Thank you very much, Chris. It was a labor of love because I'm in my 26th year as a priest and have spent most of my priesthood, as Bruce was just saying, working with men preparing for the priesthood and also working for and trying to help strengthen priests who are already out there working in the vineyard. So this was completely a labor of love.
Why did you write the book then, Father?
Well, I actually began writing the book at a time before some of the more recent difficulties that the Catholic Church and the priesthood have experienced regarding the surfacing of allegations of sexual abuse. I had begun writing the book in the year 2000 because at that time there was another book published by a rector of another seminary, mm-hmm. Father Donald Cousins.
Mm.
His book was called The Changing Face of the Priesthood, and I was really very disturbed by that book,
mm-hmm.
and wouldn't have even read it, to tell you the truth, except that a number of my priest directees were reading it and were being affected one way or the other by it, and I finally felt the need to at least take a look at it. When I did, I so strongly disagreed with the picture presented there of seminarians at this time in history in the church in the United States, and also his presentation of young priests and how they are and how they're serving the church. And then finally, he presents an agenda which basically calls for changes in the church, some of its teachings, but certainly the discipline of celibacy, and really presented the priesthood as, you know, sort of all washed up. And I just couldn't help but try to respond to that from my very different perceptions and my sense of the way in which the church has understood priesthood and the way in which the vast majority of priests are living.
I am so glad that you did respond to that book, because I too read that several years ago and was very disturbed by what I read, because it doesn't reflect even the experience that I, as a layperson, have experienced with, especially the younger priests. We have here in Omaha, we're very blessed with the ministry, the work of the Institute for Priestly Formation.
Yeah.
And the young men that enter those doors, and even the priests, the pastors from the area that participate in that is, they're reflected in your book. That's the priesthood we're experiencing.
That's exactly right. And I think that one might ask, well, then, who's out of touch with reality?
Mm-hmm.
I really think that it all has to do with whether we look with a faith perspective. If we look with a faith perspective, we're going to look for signs of strength that are very different than the signs of strength that someone with a predominantly humanistic approach to things is going to take. And what some might consider to be sort of trying to restore a bygone past, for others of us with a perspective of faith, we see that as as a renewal, as an incredible vitality. And that's, I think, a large part of it. If one worries that seminarians are praying more and more interested in a more contemplative type of prayer, are more interested in adoration of the Blessed Sacrament, are more interested in wearing visible signs of their priesthood, making sacrifices. If one considers those things falling back to a former time, then one is going to be unhappy with what one sees, because the young men coming in are, by and large, an extraordinary group of young men who are being called with a great deal of fervor, special graces of conversion. Like all of us, they certainly need to go through a lot of formation, but the patience that love has and faith has in viewing and in helping these men through formation is quite different than an impatient sort of attitude that expected things to go a lot farther than they did after Vatican II, and now sees a resurgence of interest in the deepest things that are part of the Catholic priesthood.
Yeah, it's discouraging for me sometimes, having worked in parish ministry for a decade or more, and hearing sometimes, occasionally, the voices that look at young men who, again, wear the clerical garments that are really prophetic witnesses to the rest of the world of who they are and what their ministry is, or how they conduct themselves with their devotionals, that somehow that they're, you know, well, that's ultra-conservative, or they're part of, you know, some type of move backwards. But it's not. I think it's a just a beacon for the rest of us.
A very important word, which I think helps us not only understand present-day seminarians, but some of the renewal going on in the church and some of the considerable divergence that there can be within the church, namely the word devotional. I think it is such an important word, and a characteristic of the renewal that has taken place in the Catholic Church throughout the world has been a return to a devotional sense. Now, by that, we don't only mean paraliturgical, we don't only mean those things outside of the Eucharist. To the contrary, the devotion is focused on the Eucharist and on the Blessed Mother, on the sacraments. And some people who had begun to think of the Church in much more sociological terms, who had expected the sort of the sense of the sacred as being something artificial, and were expecting it to disappear. To see people who have a profound longing for all of those dimensions in us that are stirred up by an attitude of devotion. This is something, the word devotion is, I have found in discussion groups, is the cutting-edge word, because some people absolutely reject that as something inauthentic, and others see it as what really has to do with the type of fervor and zeal that is at the heart of renewal.
I really have a sense that your choice of the word heart, because in that devotional, it is, they're strengthened by those activities, by those practices in their heart, in the core of who they are as priests. And it gives them a strength that sometimes, you know, I've seen that with those who have been formed years ago, to kind of diminish that, that they end up having those moments of later in their priesthood where they have some real crisis.
That's exactly right. I think that I can honestly say that in my own formation, which I began seminary in 1967, and continued it on up into the through the 70s pretty much, and then was ordained in 1980, there were deliberate attempts to root out the devotional kinds of experiences. And very often, I mean, there weren't that many men in the seminary looking for them, but there definitely was an attempt to root them out. And I think what that has amounted to, you know, and the word heart captures it, is a loss of interiority. I think in among many, many Catholics, there is a lack of interiority. it shows itself in all kinds of ways. The worship oftentimes is something that is more entertainment and is very secular.
Mm-hmm.
I've also, just recently, I went to an ordination, and when I came into the church, the people that had arrived for the ordination were all just sitting there talking like they were, you know, at the mall. And
right.
That type of thing, which, again, I don't want to get cranky about it, but it shows what we've lost. And at another time, there would have been more of a spirit where people would have been just silent out of awe for what was about to take place and would have been very much together as community and family, rejoicing in that prayerfully.
Right.
Rather than needing to talk a lot. And that's the kind of quality that may seem to be surface, but that reveals what is going on in the heart.
And I think that's, you know, as laity, I think we've lost a sense of why we're there. I think you're talking about that. I mean, it's the purpose of why we have gathered together. And even more so, the priest has to be that beacon to point us towards worship, not just that there is a hospitality that comes with greeting people and getting to know them and talking to them. But at that moment when we're called to worship, the priest really has to be that in persona Christi, that person that points us to that greater cause.
I think that that is exactly right. And to do that, a priest must have a priestly heart. He must have an interior life and cannot be simply someone who performs a liturgy,
mm-hmm.
someone who offers various pastoral services. He has to himself be deeply in a relationship with Christ. And if he's not, then he is certainly going to, there's just going to be a superficiality, and ultimately he's not going to be able to lead his people much deeper because he hasn't gone deeper himself.
And I think that's the challenge. I think you had pointed out in your book that the single weakest link in the priestly formation is the transition from the seminary to the priestly life and ministry.
That's right. I think there are many reasons for that, and obviously this doesn't get a lot of sort of happy response mm-hmm. from priests who've been out there for a long time. But I honestly think that during some period of time, probably throughout the 70s and even the earlier years of the 80s, there just was not much spiritual formation going on in the seminary. I've noticed mm-hmm. because I've worked, you know, pretty extensively over the years with priests and religious women often got a very superficial formation long before Vatican II.
Mm-hmm.
And we find them now in their, you know, 70s or 80s, and they don't really have much of a formation to go on.
Mm-hmm.
And then the group right under them picked up a lot of the soft stuff, you know, Catholic light, religious life light, that came after Vatican II. And a lot of priests just don't really have a formation in praying, have not gone deeply into their own spiritual life, and consequently often have lives that are, you know, it's just somewhat scattered, and even, as you said, Chris, you know, at times it can really get bad when they come into midlife or when they meet someone that they're interested in and attracted to, or there are financial opportunities or opportunities to know people that, you know, have lots of money and can give them luxurious vacations. I mean, just a lot of things that you know, are not bad in themselves, but for a priest who doesn't have his heart deeply grounded in Christ, these things can take what is already a rather superficial interior life and cause the interior life to die out altogether.
Yeah, and that's so sad, you know, because in responding to that vocation, you're really responding to that call that God has for you, and that should be a time of peace and joy for that person, even though there are struggles.
That's right.
You know, even though but there is in responding to that call, and it's just keeping tethered to that call, to that mission, that journey. And we as laity, that's why your book is so important for lay people to read, for the faithful, because our expectations of our priests and how we support them are all a part of that. I mean, this sacrament of holy orders isn't just for them. It's a sacrament for the entire church. It's a sacrament for us.
That's so beautiful, Chris, and I couldn't agree more wholeheartedly. You know, so many people, including priests, give in to some of the most really superficial analysis of the time about priesthood. You know, Pope John Paul II has, as everyone knows, left us just this incredible legacy of writing and reflection on priesthood. In many ways, it was probably the area that he gave the most attention to. And there just is so much there. One can see, for example, that in Father Cousin's book, for example, Pope John Paul is not cited once.
And wow.
The only time he's mentioned is in a derogatory way about his insistence on maintaining certain disciplines of the priesthood. Well, if one isn't being fed and nourished from the very heart of the church by the vicar of Christ, then how can one possibly even understand what the priesthood is? All one's going to be left with, and it was actually Bishop Griffin when he was Bishop of Columbus, Ohio. He's now retired, but I was talking with him one time, Bishop James Griffin, and he had been in Cleveland, that's his home diocese, and he knew the situation pretty well, and he and I were discussing the work I was doing, sort of addressing some of the issues Father Cousins brings up, and I was talking about a title for the book, and I was saying how Father Cousins had really not succeeded in getting beyond the changing face of the priesthood, and I was going to call my book The Unchanging Face of the Priesthood, and Bishop Griffin said, oh no, it's The Unchanging Heart, because we have to get beyond the face and go to the heart. And so many Catholics, laypersons, that's why listening to you, Chris, is music to my ears, because so many Catholics don't get that, and they adopt superficial things that they've heard about. If priests only would marry, everything would be fine. I mean, that is, of course, extraordinarily naive.
That is.
And you know, the very nature of priesthood, which, you know, Father Cousins and other theologians like Father Skillebeck and Hans Kung and these people whom I mention in the book, these people would say that all of that can, you know, that's just some sort of creation of a certain period of history, that whole spirituality. And they really call for a priesthood that's like a job that can be held by a man or a woman, they say, for any, you know, particular length of time. They fail to see that the very nature of vocation in this sense is for life and actually for eternity.